Psalms chapter 23 from verse 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because your word goes unhindered. It shall not be stopped by any demonic force. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are present to reveal Christ to us. And every distraction, every lethargy, every confusion is hereby discarded by the power of God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 23 from verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Can we read verse 3 together? I want us to read it with a loud voice. Read it one more time with a louder voice. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Can you close your eyes and say, "Thank you, Lord, for restoring my soul." In theology, it is said that man is a tripartite being. Meaning, he has three parts. They say man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Who has heard that before? You must be conversant with that. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. And now, the soul is the intermediary between the spirit of man and the body of man. In fact, some Bible scholars say a soul is formed when God breathes the human spirit into the human body. That middle ground formed is called the soul. And that is the seat of man's will, his emotion, and intellect. Are you with me? It is the seat of man's will, his emotions, and intellect. So, the emotion is that place of feeling, the will is the place of decision, and the intellect is the place of understanding, the place where you store up knowledge. Because right now, if they break your brain open, they cannot get to any point where they can squeeze out some information there. You're not going to see information stored in any part of the brain. If you break a man's brain open, you cannot see somewhere like a piece of black stuff. So what is this? This is the amount of things he has stored in his brain. No. It's all stored in your soul. That's why even in the afterlife, like we're going to talk about later today, you can remember. Remember when the rich man died and was buried, and Lazarus also died, and they went to hell in Luke chapter 16. The rich man could see Lazarus and remember, because the seat of knowledge is not your brain as it were. Your brain is the hardware, but the software for that knowledge is called your soul, the intellect. Are you with me? Do you get that? Why am I bringing this up? Because God is showing me that there's something that usually happens every year, and that started happening this year also, where people begin a year with so much vigor, so much strength, and they get one part of the year where they just get tired. It seems like they begin to struggle with their spiritual life. It seems like all the ginger they had at the beginning of the year, they seem to lose it. You know what is happening? Their soul is losing grip of their conviction. Are you following me? Oh, 2025 will be a new year. This year, I'm going to pray higher. This year, I'm going to read 10 books. This year, I'm going to be this. This year, I'm going to be that. But you got into one point in the year, what they call initial gra-gra, final mellow. You started on a high, and suddenly you get to a point where you just seem to plateau. You see that phrase that we just read? He restoreth my soul. Or that sentence. The reason why he restores your soul is because the soul sometimes can lose its strength. Are you with me? The soul can get tired. You know, have you ever said things like, "I'm just overwhelmed"? Have you ever said things like that? That is something happening in their soul. It's not exactly because there is headache. Sometimes it's accompanied by headache. You know, there's way you can think about your life. Think and think about the problems you are going through. Your head will start paining you. Has it happened to you before? And so sometimes you see people say things like, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just tired. I don't know. I'm just tired. What has happened is that their soul needs to be restored. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They get to a point in life. You know, those motivational speakers, if you aspire to refire you, you can never get tired until you acquire your desire. There is a point you get to. Motivation will not help you again. Your soul is tired. This is coming from inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God gives a promise in his word that he restores your soul. Kai. See, when a man is weakened in his soul, he will say, I want to sleep to get my strength. He will sleep and wake up more tired. What are you talking about? When a man has been broken in his soul, nothing on the external will be able to satisfy him. He will eat more food, but he will still be tired. He may even go clubbing, fall into sin, but something is wrong in his soul. The drive to go on is no longer there. Some things are responsible for this. Number one, when people don't see commensurate progress. Are you getting what I'm saying? When somebody has hopes and all of a sudden the hope is rising, and all of a sudden it's just smashed on the ground. You are trying to get it. You are applying for this job. You are applying for this contract. You are applying for this open door. All of a sudden you get a mail. We are sorry to inform you. Most of the times you don't complete that mail. Who knows what I'm talking about? You don't complete that mail. We are sorry to inform you that once you say we are sorry, don't need to continue. Just go on. We can no longer continue with this application. Disappointment. And disappointment leads to discouragement. Sometimes it can come as a result of sin. You know, you have made up your mind that I'm not going to do this thing again. I'm not going to fall for this again. But all of a sudden, you found yourself right where you said you shouldn't be. David was in that situation. David in the Bible. You can read Psalm 51. You see the way he was talking. He says, Psalm 51 from verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, if you are with me, read verse 12, 1 to 3, go. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Can you read this thing with me? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, a time can come when a man is broken in his soul, he doesn't even want to go to church. He doesn't want to hear about God, I beg. The joy to open the Bible, you know, some people, they have been so broken, they cannot remember the last time they opened their Bible. You know, when I began to understand this thing, when you understand what people go through on the inside, you are not quick to judge people. Did you hear what I said? I remember those days. There's a church I used to attend many, many years ago. Growing up, we carried the bench. We carry our benches to church. When we get to church, one of the questions they ask you is, if you have read your Bible, did you raise your hand? Who knows all those other questions? And everybody's like, oh my God. Oh, why do you ask that kind of question? And the ones who manage to read one verse, they raise up their hand with all boldness. Then the ones that did not read, they just bow their heads and say, you know what? Then when you want to lie, say you can't lie in the presence of God. You cannot lie inside church. But I've come to discover that when a man's soul is broken, maybe because he sees himself where he ought not to be, he feels like he has disappointed God. He has even disappointed himself. The joy of salvation is gone. But David knew better. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. and uphold me with thy free spirit. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, some people know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it can come as a result of heartbreak. Breakfast served. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I remember a young man was trying to ask out a lady. He kept on telling me about how he's going to talk to the lady. I was there just telling him, take it easy. Don't worry. We are trusting God for a yes. Take it easy. And after he told the lady how much he liked her, the girl just looked at him and said, see, I like you as a brother. I've never pictured you as a whole. I can't. He said, I'm trying my best, but I can't. By the time that transaction was over, they brought the broken man to me. It took me almost 3 months to heal that guy. But David says, God can restore the joy. Did I mention that it can also come by discouragement? Let me give you a scripture. This is Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 to 5. It says, but he himself, that's Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. There are people like this. And they are going through legit things. They are just discouraged. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Some of you listening to me, you have been there. Your boss can give you a high time in the office. You know, there's a way things can happen. Satan can plan you if you're not careful. You just discover, they said, go and submit this paper to so-and-so office. You say, okay, I'm coming, sir. You kept the paper in your office and you don't know what happened. It disappeared. Where is this thing? Don't you know that the company needs this document? And you are like, sir, I kept it in the office. I don't know what happened. And then you find yourself in one tight corner. It's like, God, let the ground just open me. Or let the ground just open. Let me enter inside. You make a mistake and you're like, what is my life about? You don't even know where you start asking, why don't I just get things? Why do I keep making mistakes? Why am I like this? Can you listen to what I'm saying? Yes, maybe they gave you a sales target in the office. Or they gave you a sales target. And that after that day, nothing, nobody, you didn't sell anything. Come back. Am I cost? You know, as a pastor, you know, pastors, you can dedicate somebody's baby right now, celebrate with the person, and the next minute you have to sympathize with somebody in solo. The next minute. I've gotten calls like that. Someone just called, pastor, am I cost? I'm like, what's the problem? Say, pastor, please, I want to ask Sammy first, am I cost? How do you expect me to answer? So you think I will tell you are cost? That's not my job to tell you if you are cost. It's to break the course. Are you with me?
Yes,
say, why is my own like this? And guess what? Even men of God go through it like Elijah, as we can see here. Elijah. He said, it's enough. I want to die. Verse 5, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And I'm going to come back to that. Finally, this brokenness of the soul can come by weariness. Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May you receive rest today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So how do you deal with this? There is only one way to get healing in your soul. And that way is to stay with God. Can you say after me, stay with God? Usually, when people are broken in their soul, the devil will offer you more ways. He will begin to offer you different things to do. You will think, if I just kill myself, if I just do this to myself, if I just run away, if I just, there is no other way to get healing in the soul, but by staying with God. Because it's only God that knows how to restore a man's soul. It's only God. You know, the Bible says that to be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, that's Philippians chapter 4. With prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Philippians 4 from verse 7, I think. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Are you with me? Can you hear me? And the peace of God. Now, it is only God that can give you that kind of peace, that everything is chaotic around you, but you are at peace. You have more reasons to be in fear than to be in faith, but you are at peace. Why are you rejoicing? You have received a peace that passes understanding. Are you getting this? It says, be anxious for nothing. So instead of you to allow yourself get overwhelmed and you are crying, and after you've cried, after you've mourned about your life, why is my life like this? Why did I make this mistake? Why did I even get to this point? I wish I can start my life over afresh. It says, pick up yourself from there and go and pray. He said, you pray, you make supplications to God with thanksgiving. Everything that is bothering you, you pray about it, and you allow yourself to be full of thanksgiving. And when you do that, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. A peace that you cannot explain to somebody. He said, guy, how are you like this? He said, don't worry, God is with me. Let me tell you something there. If you don't master what I'm telling you, two people we can face the same challenge. One person from that challenge can die. Another person will become stronger. What I'm telling you is a skill. Is it something to learn in your life? Something to learn in your life. That I'm not going to allow anything overwhelm me. No matter how broken I feel, I'm going to take it to God. Are you with me? I'm not going to allow myself worry. Worry cannot change anything. In fact, even if you worry from now to tomorrow, it does not mean you are from worry. It can't even change your local government. It can't. Are you with me? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and do it unto the peace of God. That passes, let me tell you something here. That peace is what keeps your heart. That's a sign that, okay, we want to go into repair of your soul. Have you prayed about a thing before till you began to rejoice? It has not changed, but you were already giving God thanks. That's what we are talking about. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. So there is only one way, stay with God. In fact, from the story we just read about Elijah, what did the angel tell him? The angel said, arise and eat. That's symbolic of go back to the word of God. Arise and eat. In fact, the angel said in 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 5, it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I want to read it from my Bible because there's something I want to show you. He said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. Look at verse 7. Okay, let me read from verse 6 actually. So, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Are you seeing this? Let me tell you something here. When people feel this brokenness in their soul, or when they feel this pressure from life, it is usually because they are beginning to face a challenge that is bigger than what they have carried inside. The amount of food they have put in their spirit, at that point, that's a sign telling them you have exhausted the energy inside. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's not that God is not there. God is in your spirit, but how much of God have you collected from your spirit to use on your daily life? Are you getting what I'm saying? How much of God's word have you put inside? How much of God's revelation have you put inside? How much of fellowship with God have you put inside? That's being overwhelmed, that burnt out that you are feeling, or that burning out that you are feeling, is a sign. Come, you need to go back to source. Are you with me? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Tell your neighbor, go back to source. Let me read some verses to you. Psalm 84 from verse 7. Psalm 84 from verse 7. It says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Do you see that? They go from strength to strength. Let me tell you something. Anything that can bring you to a point where you no longer appear before God is reducing your strength. You may not know. For instance, how many of you have tried this thing? Maybe when you are fasting, you just say, you know what? I can stay for 3 days without eating food. And you can. And the first day you stayed from morning till night, you did not eat. You felt like, I'm a master. Food has no dominion over me. And you did not break the fast in the evening. You went the second day. You stayed from morning till night, no food. By the third day, some people say they can't even do 24 hours. By 11 a.m., I did not kill Jesus. No. I remember the first time I said I was going to fast for 7 days stretch. That was during my youth service in what they call Nigerian Christian Corpus Fellowship Family House. So I went and told the kitchen, I said, remove my cooler. I'm not collecting food for the next 7 days. I said, wow, we want to be like you, sir. We can see you are pressing into God. I said, yes, I'm going to see God. And I was believing God for something. I fasted for 5 days, no food. Hey, when I come out like this, good morning. Men and brethren, by the sixth day, I could not even walk again. I was crawling out of the room. I crawled to the kitchen. I told them, please, forget about my cooler. Put anything inside the plate and give me. Why am I telling you this story? Some people are like that. They stay away from God week one. It looks like they are still okay. Week two, it looks like they are still okay. Week three, after a while, 4 weeks, it looks like they are still okay. They are pulling from the reserves in their spirit. A day now comes, there is nothing again. And they are completely flat. And Satan likes to wait for that time. That's when he will launch his attack. Then something will happen. Bam! One disappointment will just come and bring you to the point where it seems like you have no energy again to fight back. And you are there. Can I tell you what to do? Crawl back to God. Are you with me? Crawl back to the place of food. Crawl back. Go back. If you like superhero movies like I do, if you watched Aquaman Part 2, okay, I'm on my own. I just descend. The way these people responded, I descended on my own. Who remembers when the other king, when he was in prison, and then eventually King Arthur came to rescue him. And then, while he was in the desert, he was struggling and they were trying to rescue him. Immediately, he got to water. Who remembers that scene? Immediately, he got to water. He stood up and began to fight. Many of us are like that. You need to go back to water. Go back. Psalm 80 from verse 18. Already, You have explained to you Matthew 11, verse 28, but I think I will come back there. Psalm 80, verse 18. Psalm 80, verse 18. It says, so we will not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. In other words, he's saying, we are not going to leave you. We are going to stay here until we get quickly. Are you with me? We are going to stay here until we get quickening, until we become revived. We are going to stay here. That's how to get it. You go back and stay with the Lord until after a while, from crying, you stand up and say, ah, I am more than a conqueror. Are you with me? No matter what you are facing, maybe you are doing something and it's not working. Don't worry. Leave that thing. Go back and stay with God. Stay with him long enough until you are quickened. He says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 verse 28 to 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you seeing this? So God is the one inviting you, telling you, come. Can you tell your neighbor, come? I want to shout it, come! Some of you need to shout it to your spirit, come! You know, you can be so far away from God, you can feel like, you can literally feel yourself being tossed away. You can literally feel discouragement taking over your mind. But you tell yourself, no. See, let me tell you something. When you are trying to get yourself back, don't wait for a mechanical arrangement or a perfectionist arrangement of how to get to God. From your room, you can just begin to sing. My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes. Are you following me? He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor. What does that tell you? See, God is not in support of hustling without proof. In fact, I want to disband that word from this ministry. Say after me, I'm not a hustler. I'm not a hustler. I'm not a hustler. I'm a fruitful vine. Some of you are not talking. Hey. After all we taught in Christ Life Conference, you are struggling to open your mouth to talk. Say after me, I'm not a hustler. I'm not a hustler. I am a fruitful vine. Glory. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you seeing what Jesus is saying? Take my yoke. You know, sometimes we can say, don't you see what I'm going through? You are telling me about, I should learn about Christ. That, Jesus is telling you that when you take his yoke and begin to learn about him, that's how you find your rest. Can you imagine? Jesus comes to meet Peter and his friends. He says, give me your boat. He says, see, Oga, before we give you this boat, we have been busy with this boat since. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. But you are asking me for your boat. Jesus said, give me your boat. You know, when you discover that God has nothing to collect from us that he doesn't already have. Every time he asks for man's engagement, it's because he wants to change the man's life. Okay, we are gathering, we call church to gather unto the Lord. Is it that God does not have... The Bible says the elders in heaven, the angels in heaven. He says, I've not seen that thing in Daniel. A thousand of thousands and thousands and thousands multiplied by thousands and thousands and thousands. So, it's not like he's lonely and he doesn't have people to worship him. If he's calling your attention, he wants to change your life. So, Peter said, okay, we will give you the boat. Jesus, first of all, used the boat, stood on the boat, and preached. Then said, you can take the boat back. He said, but right now, since you have obeyed me first, go and cast your nets. Plunge yourself into the service of the Lord. It may look difficult, or it may look like, what are you saying? I'm going through a challenge. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me first. And then he caught something that was bigger than what he could take alone. He had to call his friends to join him. I pray for you. From this service, you are stepping into net-breaking miracles. Yeah. You are stepping into net-breaking open doors. Yeah. You are stepping into net-breaking miracles. Yeah. Mm. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, on this subject, Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary." You see, that thing that is happening to you, it does not happen to God. Are you getting this? God does not get to the point and say, "Why am I like this?" Even when God has obvious failures, think about it. You know, years ago, I met a great man of God who also happened to be a theologian. And I asked him a question. I said, "Sir, I don't understand the Bible, especially the first part of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Then in verse 2, he says, "And the earth was without form and void." Do you not know that that was a contradiction? How can God create and all of a sudden it was without form and void? Then he looked at me and smiled. He said, "Both theologians and scientists agree that between verse 1 and verse 2, there is at least 1 million years." Did you hear what I said? They agree that between verse 1 and verse 2, that a lot happened. Put yourself in the shoes of God. You created the heavens and the earth. All of a sudden, the earth became without form and void. Everything scattered. Everything scattered. But God does not get weary. He will create again. It doesn't matter what you have lost. You will go again. I said you will go again and win. You lost money. You will win again. Oh, you lost the relationship, you will love again. Amen. Some people are not saying it, you know, you will love again. Yeah. And I'll be there. Most likely to join you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary." There is no setting of his understanding. So he does not get weary. He has an everlasting bank of strength. Hey. An unending power bank. Verse 29, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." That is his specialty. So much that he named himself after it. He has a way of increasing the strength of those that have no might. He giveth power to the faint. Are you with me? You know, one thing people need to see here is, he gives power to the faint. People that claim that, "I don't need God. I am strong enough." That's how you end your life. You know, some people, they always like to pretend. They now reach God, they are pretending to. God wants to help you. What do you need to say? "I don't need anything." As long as you can agree that, "Oh, I need help." That's, you are a candidate for help. You know, there's a statement that people say, "Heaven help those who help themselves." That's popular culture or adage. That's not how it is, though. Heaven help those who know that they cannot help themselves. I know they are trying to say, be responsible, take, know when to take initiatives, but don't mix up heaven and your responsibility. No, don't mix it up. Praise the Lord. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That means even the people that you expect not to be tired sometimes can get tired. Even the people that you expect, you know, sometimes you can look at somebody and just feel this person always has money. Sometimes they get broke too. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's why when God is leading you, just obey God. I remember when God led me to give. One man there in our church, I grew up in, the church I grew up in, God just let me go and give him 10,000 naira. I was like, what this man uses 10,000 naira to now? Like, God, 10K, this man. Let's not look like an insult, too. I went and gave him. This man grabbed me and began to pray. Said, the God that spoke to you will keep on speaking to you. He prayed for me. You will never be small. Amen. He prayed. He almost started crying. I said, this man drives a Jeep. This man. He said, for God to speak to you, for me to know my need at this time. Even the youth shall faint and utterly fall. Even the people that you think that, this person is high up there, sometimes they can get weary. When I understood this, when I meet big people, I'm not just thinking about how I can get from them. I think about how can I help them. No, you can see somebody, maybe he's a director in one parastatal and everything, and you just feel like, okay, show your boy love now. You know, he's used to every time, everywhere he goes, show your boy love. Show us love. Somebody should show him love too. Even the youth can get weary. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Am I in this service at all?
Yes, sir.
Are you in this service at all?
Yes, sir.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You missed a place to shout glory. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. See, after me, I'm mounting up in this service. Now, look at this. They will first of all mount up with wings as eagles. Then they will get to a new place. They'll begin to run. Because, you know, when you're mounting up with wings, you don't do it on land. You do it on the air, right? But you run on land. What it's trying to tell you is that when you begin to wait on God, God promotes you to a new place. Then you begin to run. You fly to a new height in the spirit. Then you begin to run. Then when you catch up with God's timing for your life, you begin to walk. That's what he's telling you there. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So after me, I will wait on the Lord. I will stay with him till he quickens me. I will stay with God till he quickens me. Just lift up your hands and bless the name of Jesus.